What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. This is the first time that I can record a pod that I can remember that the Wizards have won back-to-back games. Completely I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to speak about. They've won back-to-back games and they've beaten a team that they weren't supposed to beat. We haven't really seen that all year. Except for maybe the time they beat Indiana at home. But nonetheless, very good basketball being played by this team over the last 3 days. And we're going to talk about it today on the pod. And obviously, we're going to hit on all the positives, but just because they're winning doesn't mean that everything's going right. Doesn't mean that I've enjoyed everything that I've watched. So, obviously going to hit on some other negatives. Going to talk about Kuz and his late game struggles. Going to talk about Poole's struggles in Miami. But we're also going to talk about positives, talk about how good Denny has been, Corey Kispert taking over in Miami, Bilal Coulibaly putting together a couple of really solid games, and the defense really stepping up, for a team that's dead last in the league in defense. So, a lot of nice things to talk about. I'm just going to dive right into it. Going to talk first about the Charlotte game, ending that 16-game losing streak. And then we're going to go back down to Miami and talk about the win to give them back-to-back dubs. Firstly, for Charlotte, I want to talk about the 16-game losing streak. And look, I did a Twitter Spaces right after the Charlotte game. It's on my Twitter. You can go look and watch. It's about 30 minutes. And I basically gave a lot of my thoughts right after the game, my immediate reaction to that Charlotte win. And what I was saying is, look, obviously, I'm going to have a bunch of Wizards fans in my mentions saying, why are you celebrating a win? Don't you guys want to lose? You are literally already eliminated from the playoffs. This doesn't help you at all. And look, if you think that way, I mean, number one, I think you're not watching the games. I think you're literally just like sitting at home and then you check, oh, do the Wizards win or lose? Like, if you're watching all 64 games to this point, like I have, you just want to win a game. Like you're tired of getting run off the court every single time. However, if you're not going to watch the games, then yeah, obviously it's like, okay, just keep losing. I don't really care anymore. I'm not watching. I have no investment in this team. The losses obviously are better than the wins, so just keep losing. I disagree with that take. I feel like if you are watching the games, just like if the players are playing the games, they want to win. They're not going to go out there and just lose. And it's nice to win a couple games. You don't want to create a losing culture, a culture of losers that just go out there and play and don't give a fuck about the result. Don't really care if they win or lose. That's not good if you're trying to rebuild something. And obviously the losses, like I said, are better than the wins. They help you in the long run, but a couple wins sprinkled in here and there aren't gonna fucking hurt. To this point, you've won 11 of your first 64 games. That is horrible. So you're not escaping that bottom three anytime soon. And the Spurs and the Hornets and the Blazers are playing pretty solid basketball. You're only a game in front of the Hornets, or sorry, a game in front of the Pistons. So look, you're pretty much locked into at least the second worst record. And depending on how your game versus the Pistons go, you could potentially get the top spot. But I don't think it necessarily matters. It all comes down to lottery balls. It all comes down to some luck at some point. And you're still going to have a 14% chance at the first pick, no matter if you're the worst team or if you're the second worst team. The only difference is you can move farther back if you're the second worst compared to the first, but it's only by a spot. Not that great of a draft class. 2 wins isn't going to fucking hurt you. But yeah, beating Charlotte, I was very happy, especially because this team was so bad in that third quarter. Completely just looked like they didn't even want to be there. But then they flipped it around. And eventually, I think they outscored him 44-22 in the fourth quarter. Just domination from the Wiz. 17-4 run early in the quarter. Poole and Kuz hit back-to-back threes. Denny scored 11 of the team's of his 18 points in the fourth quarter. Possibly his best fourth quarter I've seen in a Wizards uniform. Just absolutely took over. It was like, fuck this, I'm not losing to the fucking Hornets on my home floor again. I'm not losing. So he put his head down, got to the rim. I thought Bilal did very well in the beginning. At 7 points in the first quarter, was pretty quiet the rest of the way, but defended his ass off the entire time. Didn't get the shots, honestly. Didn't get the volume of shots, but I thought he was great. Rashawn Holmes brought the energy the entire game. I think he had 5 and 4 in the first quarter. Just when Marvin Bagley is out and you have no other centers on the roster, you really need Rashawn Holmes to play as big as he could, going against guys like Nick Richards down low. And he did that, and he provided them with some really good minutes, rebounded the ball very well. So I was very pleased to see that from a guy we brought in the Gaff trade. Not as good as Gaff, obviously, but I would say he's half as good, at least half as good. And we also got a first round pick. So that's looking like a pretty solid trade from us now. And look, I want to talk about Davis Bertans because he's fucking terrible still. It's mind blowing that Tommy Shepard gave this guy 4 years, $64 million. He can't. All he can do is shoot threes, and he sucks at that. I think he started the game 0 of 5 from 3 and missed like 3 wide open threes. He's terrible. I tweeted out during the game. I was like, it's nice to see that Davis Bertans still bricks threes and doesn't play any defense in Capital One Arena. Feels like 2020. Because it did. I mean, he's terrible, and it was nice to watch that woeful performance from the other side, because he was getting picked on defense, and then on offense, he'd hit like one of every 4 or 5 threes, and then he'd go back to bricking it. He's terrible. He's absolutely horrible. Completely robbed the Wizards. So yeah, fuck that guy. But yeah, up 3 at half. Charlotte was shooting 1 of 13 from 3. Great perimeter defense, and then it all fell apart in that third. Like I said, everyone looked like they didn't give a fuck. They didn't want to be there. And I think after the post game, if you follow Bijan Todd, from Monumental, great follow. He got a nice quote from Denny, and Denny was basically like, "Look, we had to sit there and kind of look at ourselves. Some things were said in the locker room, just kind of be like, yo, what the fuck are we doing? It's the Charlotte Hornets. We've lost 16 in a row. Like, wake the fuck up." And I think they got that message. I think Denny kind of got that message. He said in the first half, I was just kind of in my head. I was getting frustrated. I was playing very poorly. And then he was just like, fuck it. Like, I put my head down. I'm gonna get to the rim. I'm gonna defend. And he really turned the tide with a couple really nice drives and a nice three to start the fourth. Got the Wiz right back in it. 17-4 run to retake the lead. And then they didn't look back from there. I think they were down 78-68 entering the fourth. And then completely blew this team out of the water. Ended up winning by 8. Just a really nice, I think 10 actually. They won by 10. Just a really nice fourth quarter performance. And look, they didn't close with the Tyus Jones Jordan Poole backcourt. If you listen to me in the last episode, if you listen to me all season, you would know how long I've been stressing. Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole do not go. They don't mesh. They don't go well together. It's two guards that don't play defense, two guards that are pretty small. It doesn't work. Especially late in the game when you need some stops. You're never gonna get them when your backcourt is that bad defensively and that small. And Brian Keefe, I don't think Tyus played the entire fourth quarter. And that's not an indictment on Tyus. He's been terrific this season. But the fit doesn't work next to Poole. So you gotta bench one, and it was Tyus because Poole had it going. And Poole made all the right reads in the final quarter. I think he had 5 assists and 0 turnovers in the fourth. 15.7 assists on the game. Made the right reads down the stretch. Got his guys involved. Hit a clutch step back three to ice the game. And look, 15-7, that's not going to jump off the page. It's not his 30 points that he had against Utah or against the Lakers. But I honestly think he played as good as those 30-point performances. He didn't force it. He took what they gave him, made the right reads, and was really the facilitator the Wiz needed to get back in the game. And you look at Jordan's stats and compare him to Kyle's, 28 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists for Kuz. Unbelievable stats. But I thought he almost shot them out of the game. 12 if he would have been, tw I would think he was shot 12 of 23, but he was 0 of 7 from 3. So that would have been what? 12 of 16 if he didn't settle. I thought down the stretch again in the fourth, he was settling. He was taking some bad shots throughout the game, honestly. And yet almost a 30-point triple double, great box score stats. But if you watch the game, I felt like, although he played well, there were times where he was doing way too much, just completely barreling into the paint with no plan and just drawing offensive fouls and forcing up wild shots. He's there. He's got the skill. There's little things like that that I really need him to hone in on. If he wants to be, the franchise cornerstone in DC. That's all I honestly got on the Charlotte game. I thought, Jordan Poole was terrific down the stretch. I was happy they didn't close with that Poole and Jones backcourt. Denny, terrific yet again. Just a really nice win, a comeback win. Shouldn't have even been in that spot in the first place against the Charlotte team. That's terrible. But you'll take it when it's the first time you've won a game since January 29th. So definitely happy to see the Wizards come out of there with a dub. And that ended the 16-game losing streak. One more loss would have been 17, would have been franchise record. And honestly, it would have put you on pace to probably match the Pistons streak this season of 28. So just happy we're not going to set history in that regard. But moving on to the Miami game. Look, this is a game that I just literally marked as a loss on the schedule. Like, no Marvin Bagley. Rashawn Holmes was even out. I don't know what he hurt, but he was out. Landry Shamet played maybe 2 minutes, but he aggravated that calf injury, I believe. So he was out. So no healthy centers versus the Heat. The Heat were all but fully healthy. I'm pretty sure they were fully healthy. And again, no load Landry Shamet. So you're already down your two centers. You're down one of your better bench players, and you're going into a team like Miami that's been playing their best basketball of the season. You're coming off a win, so obviously you're riding high, but Miami isn't going to roll over. They're the type of team that usually just takes care of business. So, and the Wizards, historically struggle to take wins in Miami. So, I was just kind of like, this is going to be a loss. Hopefully, Bilal, Corey, Denny, Kuz, JP, play well, but I didn't have much expectations, and that was fine for me because they had beaten Charlotte. That I didn't care what else happened, honestly, the rest of the season. Just, don't beat that Piston streak. And look, they came into Miami and they said, "Nah, fuck that. We're gonna play hard, and we're not just gonna roll over because our centers, are out, and we're gonna have to play Kuzma at the five. We're gonna have to have Patrick Baldwin Jr., who I think is only 6'8" or 6'9". Come off the bench and play the center position off the bench." They didn't flinch, and that's a credit to the players. It's also a credit to Brian Keefe. Put together a really good game plan, had his guys locked in and ready to go. And that's not easy to do when you're 10-53. You're really late into the season. You were already eliminated from the playoffs. You got nothing to play for. You're down your two centers, and you're playing a really good team against a really good team like Miami. To have your guys come out and have the turnout that they had, it speaks volumes to Keith and what he's done here, and it speaks volumes to the players and hopefully the culture that we're trying to rebuild here in DC. Look, they hung tight throughout the entire first half. Obviously getting killed by Bam on the boards. He had 9 first quarter rebounds. Jimmy Butler, foul merchant, was just drawing bullshit fouls a lot of the game. The refs actually didn't call any fouls mostly, like until the fourth quarter. I think only 4 individuals combined for each team had shot free throws. And Kuz shot like 16 free throws. He was 12 of 16. So Kuz was getting all the calls. So I'm not gonna sit here and say like, oh, the refs were one-sided. No, I thought the refs were bad both ways. I thought Jimmy Butler did get fouled a couple times. Bam got fouled a couple times. They didn't call. Same thing for Denny, who I thought, always gets hosed by the refs, but he also didn't get any calls. So obviously that was a factor in the game. A very physical and rough game. But I want to touch on first, I want to talk about Corey Kispert. Nobody talks about Corey for some reason. He had 22 points on 50% from three, and it's not 50% shooting 1 of 2 or 2 of 4. He was 5 of 10. He was terrific. Defended very well for a guy that people considered coming into the season as a defensive liability. Rebounded well with 5 boards. We really needed people like Corey guards to come down on the glass and really help with no centers, and he did just that. Added 6 assists as well. Just a very well-rounded game overall from Corey. Denny's ability to attack the basket is just revolutionary. I mean, he's finally figured out how to use his frame and his body the right way. he's not just going in and fading away like he did his first 2 years and avoiding contact. He's taking that shit to their chest. He's bullying inside, using his body, getting to the rim. That's what he needs to do. Still gets no respect, like I mentioned, from the refs. There was a hook and hold call that I felt kind of changed the game. Jimmy Butler on a rebound, hooked Denny's arm under his, pulled Denny down with him, flailed his arms as if he got pushed. And of course, it's you know it's Jimmy Butler versus Denny Avdia. Who do you think is gonna get the call? They give it to Jimmy Butler. Brian Keefe challenges, and the game I think flips from that moment. Really, really timely challenge. There was I mean, Denny. It was a blatant foul on Jimmy Butler, but obviously, you know, they're not gonna catch that. But I thought the game flipped from there, and I thought Denny was terrific, especially you know, helping out on the glass as well. He had, I think, 7 first quarter rebounds. He was great as well. Bilal numbers won't jump off the page. 11 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. But look, like I say so many times, if you watch the box score, you're gonna say he's not that good in Miami. But if you watch the game, he was terrific. He shot 3 of 5 from 360%. Again, for a guy that people thought would take years to figure the shot out, 60% from 3 on 5 attempts is perfect. He also hit a clutch three. I think it was 101-100. Kuz kicked it to him on the wing, drilled a three with 2 minutes left, to extend the lead to 4. Also, great defense. And I think he banged knees with someone late in the game, so he came out, came back in, defended very well. You know, just a really nice all-around game from Bilal. And look, I saved Kyle for last because I have a lot to say about his overall game. Look, the Wizards, I'll say this, the Wizards would not have even been anywhere in this game if it weren't for Kyle Kuzma and his first to third quarter contributions. Honestly, his first quarter to 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter contributions. He was in attack mode the entire game. He was just like, I need to take over if my team wants any shot of being in this game. I need to really step up. And he did that. 32 points. You know, was in attack mode the entire game. Really 16 free throws, like I mentioned. He shot 12 of 16 from the line. He kind of he took it to Miami. He took it into Bam's chest, into Butler's chest. He wasn't afraid of the contact. And I think that's what kind of kept the Wizards' momentum going for most of the game. However, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about one of the worst final stretches of the game that I've seen in 4 or 5 years, honestly. From the 2:45 mark, this is the sequence of events from Kyle Kuzma from 2 minutes 45 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter until the final buzzer. I'm just gonna read off each play in order, and then I'll talk about it, okay? Starts it off with a turnover at the 2:45 mark. He was, you know, posting up, trying to do too much, throws the ball away. Miami comes down and they score to make it 102, 110 to 102 Wizards. Kuz then gets the ball again and has everyone clear out. It's like 1:45 left. He gets the ball on the post. I think he's got Terry Rozier, a small, on him. And he travels. He tries to spin baseline, doesn't dribble the ball, he just runs with it. Calls a travel. Then comes down on the other end, fouls Jimmy Butler shooting. Jimmy makes both. Now the Wizards are only up 4 with about, you know, 1:10 to go. Kyle gets the ball on the baseline. Again, I don't know why Brian Keefe is consistently going to this Kuzma post up because it's not working, but gets thrown the ball on the far post, dribbles. I think it's Rozier again. That's the mismatch they wanted. Dribbles, horrible, just completely horrible baseline fadeaway right inside the 3-point line. The worst shot in basketball. Not even close. It's so bad that the rebound goes all the way back to him on the perimeter. And look, at this point, like 55 seconds left, you got to reset shot clock to 14, dribble the fucking ball out, and then take a shot with like 42 seconds left, 1 on the shot clock. And then Miami can get the ball with 40 seconds left. At the worst, Miami gets 40 seconds down 4 with the ball. No, Kyle Kuzma gets his rebound and right away puts up a contested 8-foot floater that doesn't go in, rims out. The Heat get the ball. Again, you could have wasted another 10 to 12 seconds.
but he wanted his points. He wanted to, hit that dagger. So he shoots it way too early in the shot clock. Very stupid play, and he misses it. He hit the ball, come down for what feels like the longest possession ever with 30 seconds left. They somehow tip it in. I think Bam tips it in. So it's 110-108. And now, again, what do you think's going to happen with the game on the line? Brian Keith, man, draw up a fucking play for somebody else. Kuzma is clearly not it down the stretch. But again, Brian Keith trusts Kyle Kuzma, posts him up with 20 seconds left on, I think, again, Terry Rozier. Backs him down, backs him down, backs him down, and then goes baseline and just completely clubs Terry Rozier in the face. Yes, Rozier flailed his arms and sold it, but it was an offensive foul. So there's an offensive foul on Kuzma. So that's his third turnover in the final 2:45 to go along with an 0 for 2 shooting, a shooting foul, and a really stupid shot when he could have wasted another 10 seconds. So this dude single-handedly, by thinking he was Kobe Bryant, by thinking he was MJ, and he could just post him up and put the game away and not pass the ball to his teammates, he single-handedly almost sold the game. And he's so lucky that the Heat missed three wide open threes on the final possession, or this dude would not have heard the end of it. I mean, it's one thing to miss a couple shots down the stretch if you're getting them in rhythm, even if you're taking these fadeaways. But to compound these issues and to continuously take these bad shots, it's mind-blowing. And it's happened all season. And look, he's been clutch for a lot of his career, especially with the Wizards. But this season in particular, he's felt like, okay, no Brad, no KP anymore. This is my time to shine. Everybody clear the fuck out. I'm gonna win the game. I'm gonna have my moment. You're not, and look, I say this with all due respect, he's not good enough to do that. He's not there yet. He's not at that Kobe, MJ, LeBron level where he can just say, give me the ball, clear out. I'm gonna fucking win this game for us. The best of the best have that ability. He hasn't had that ability. And look, he was clutch when he was kind of that role player playing off the ball, would get the shots in rhythm and knock down the timely three. This season, he's forcing it and he's taking terrible shots and they're not even close. And the Wizards are losing games because of it. They got bailed out in this game because they did everything they could to lose it. But just because Kuz had 32 over the first three quarters doesn't mean you can't talk about how terrible he was down the stretch. He almost single-handedly cost them this game. And that can't happen. And why this is such an issue is because it's happened all season, and they continuously go back to these Kuzma post-ups and these Kuz step-back threes at the end of games, and they never work out for them. If I would much rather have Jordan Poole attack the rim and kick out for a three. I'd much rather call over a screen even for Kuz and have him run like a 1-5 pick and roll with him maybe as the five, and I don't know. Just not this, not what we saw in Miami. You can't have that. And it's frustrating because that's going to keep happening. Brian Keefe consistently just says, give Kyle the ball and clear out. And it doesn't work. It's a failing formula. And it's something that we can't have going forward. So I had to touch on that. Kuz was terrible over the final 2:45. And I tweeted out, I literally tweeted this out. Kuz was great all game, but I have to talk about how bad he was over the final stretch. And at least four or five people were like, yeah, but you have to talk about how good he was over the first three quarters. Buddy, I literally said it in the tweet. I said he was great all game, but you can't talk about him scoring 32 without talking about how bad he was. That would be biased. That would be covering the good and not the bad. You have to talk about the full spectrum. And he was horrible, absolutely horrible down the stretch. And look, also, you got to talk about Jordan Poole. It was a struggle-filled game, but I felt like it was a struggle-filled game where he didn't compound issues. He didn't compound mistakes. In other games, like if you remember the game right after, right coming out of break, I think it was at Dallas, or right after the Gafford trade, Jordan Poole was horrible. I think he was 4 of 17. He didn't have it going, and he forced it. But tonight, he was 8 points, not great. But he didn't. He shot six shots. He shot it six times. Didn't force it. However, he was a team worst minus 21. Which signals that he didn't really impact winning. He impacted losing. Probably wasn't that great on defense. So, Not a great game overall from Jordan. I'm happy that he didn't take 20 shots and make six. I'm happy he made two on six shots and didn't force everything. But again, JP wasn't that great. I thought the bench overall was pretty mid, and that's gonna happen when you're down two centers and you're pulling Patrick Baldwin Jr. from basically the G League minutes and trying to have. And I thought he played very well. I think he had 8 points, hit a nice three. And I'd like to see a little bit more of him, but he's not a center. He's a power forward, and obviously you're gonna have to, get him some more minutes at power forward. You can't really do that when you got two centers on the roster, and a lot of them are undersized. But look, I'm intrigued about Pedro and Jr. I thought Johnny Davis was okay. I don't know if he scored. I think he had 1 point. He had a free throw. But I thought he defended well. Like I say every time about Johnny Davis, the offense doesn't concern me right now. If he can kind of be that guy that hangs his hat on defense and hopefully does the bare minimum on offense, at least makes the other team respect his shot a little bit, so they're not, leaving him wide open in the corner. That's what Johnny Davis kind of has to find. He has to find his niche in the league, and I think that 3 and D, minus three, but like a Lu Dort, like Lu Dort isn't locked down from three, but he's a good defender, and he can make a three. It sometimes so you kind of got to respect it. Maybe Johnny Davis can develop into that. But I really liked what I saw from the team this weekend. Two wins isn't gonna fucking hurt. However, I will say, Memphis is up next, and I think Memphis is everyone on their team is injured. They're starting. I think Jordan Goodwin might start for them. If you want to get an indication about how injury plagued Memphis is, that's on the road at Memphis, nonetheless. But that could be another win. That could be three wins in a row. At that point, that would probably be it. They'd probably lose out, finish with 11 wins. But I'm kind of happy that I've seen some fight. I've seen, and it's not like it's just Kuz and JP and like the veterans. It's the young guys. I mean, Corey and Denny were terrific against Miami. Denny was great against Charlotte. Bilal had two great games against Charlotte and Miami. Obviously, Kuz led the way in scoring. Jordan Poole had a great game against Charlotte. Rashawn Holmes has given some good minutes. It was a really good team effort, contributions across the board. And I was really pleased to see that. In a season that's been so, honestly, been so depleting and mentally tough on not obviously just the players, but the fan base as well. You're making me watch loss after loss after loss. It's nice to finally win some. It's nice. It's not gonna hurt us in the end. A lot of people are panicking, like, oh no, they're gonna fall out the top three. They're not gonna fall out the top three. They're very far away from falling out the top three. They might not win a game the rest of the season, and I would be fine with that. Because they're not a sorry ass team like the Pistons that lost 28 straight. They're a team that is just bad. They're not historically bad, but they're bad. They got 11 wins right now. The Pistons have 10. The Spurs have 14 at the third worst record, and the Hornets have 16. The Wizards aren't even going to win 14 games, so don't even get yourself concerned with that. No way they win 16. So they will be in the bottom three. They will have a 14% chance at the first pick. So don't panic because they're finally having some sort of success, okay? The team is playing good basketball, and you should be happy and excited about that as a fan. I'm never going to tell anybody how to be a fan, but I'm saying I feel like you should be a little optimistic and excited about the basketball that we've seen, not only from the veterans, but from the young core as well. But look, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, very happy and very pleased with the turnaround and the way the team has responded to 16 straight losses. Nice to finally win some games, put together, a string of wins. And I'm pretty sure apart from Indiana, Miami is the first playoff team that we've beaten this season. I feel like this is the first game, the Indiana game. It's like, yeah, you're home. Indiana is okay. This is before they had Siakam. You beat them, you absolutely killed them. But apart from that, they killed the Hawks in Atlanta, which nobody really expected, and then they came into Miami with a fully healthy Miami team with down two centers and pretty much stunned them with a really, really good road win. So very happy with how Brian Keefe has turned this around in the last two games. Happy with the play and production of the vets and the young players. Just happy that they put together some wins for a fan base that kind of needed it. But again, that's gonna do it for this episode. Again, I appreciate all the support as always. People really liked the last pod I did before this, where I was kind of ranting and I was more, enthusiastic and just kind of get myself, not really trying to sugarcoat things. And I'm obviously going to try to do that because the response was terrific. So, let me know what you thought about this episode. Again, appreciate all you guys for all the support across all the stuff that I do, especially listening to this. It really means a lot. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. And I'll see you guys in about 4 or 5 days after the Memphis game and after another road game. So that'll do it for this one. Go Wiz.